This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. This is the last broadcast for 2024. And man, it just feels like it's blitzed right by. So my office, our office in Chandler, is about a half-hour drive from here. And I often will stop by. There's a Whole Foods not far from here. I'll stop by and get something to eat at the Whole Foods before I come over. And as I was in the parking lot getting out of my vehicle, coming out, there was crossing. And this, what I'm going to describe to you now happened in basically a second. So I get out of my vehicle and I start moving towards the store, and there's a woman crossing my path wearing very tight stretch pants. You can call them yoga pants. And I notice this in my field of vision, and then I just turn my head and keep walking and keep going. And so a part of my internal mechanism is, what's the use of looking? And but there is a battle to the flesh, in the flesh, that goes on, because really my flesh wants to look. My flesh wants to go up and down her body. And stretch pants and yoga pants are basically, especially when they're drawn tight, they're basically not much more than wearing pantyhose in public, where the crevices of the woman's form are highlighted. And if most men are honest, they will tell you, I mean, the ones that are, who talk to, it's, one guy said these things are like designed by Satan, because we men, like it or not, have we're wired with a strong sex drive. And so this is something we need to deal with to keep our flesh crucified and in the grave on a daily basis. And when women are wearing those type of clothing, which is very revealing of the female body and shape and form, we have to do something about it. So there's two choices. Basically, we just go on with our life, move away from it, deal with it, crucify our flesh, or, and I've done this, of course, many times in the past, we maul them with our eyes, where we look them up and down and lock our eyes in certain places, and then in some places, you know, we might start fantasizing or role-playing there, and so we're basically entering into sin. And Jesus said that if a man looks at a woman with the intent of lust, and this is in Matthew 5, he's committed adultery with her. So we're just talking about the wrong type of look here is sin. And the problem is that, and by the way, man, this is not a man-only issue. Women also struggle with lust, and the numbers of women looking at pornography, for example, are shooting through the roof, with one recent Barna survey showing now that the number of women viewing porn is up into the 40s now, where 20 years ago was in the 20 percentile range. So this is not a man-only issue with lust. And so we have to be responsible. It's on me to keep my flesh in the grave, meaning keeping it crucified. And so there's a little baby death that has to go on each time, because my flesh will say, yeah, I want to look. I want to gaze over her body. I want to look at that. And the Holy Spirit says, no, this person is not for you. But we have to define a little bit what a look of lust is, because somebody just crossing your path doesn't mean you've lusted after him. And some men go way off into the guilt side, to where if a beautiful woman crosses their path, then they freak out in fear that, oh my gosh, I've lusted now. No, not necessarily true, unless you're, locking and mauling, I'll say. And those of us who want to walk with God, there are many men who don't want to look. Honestly, don't want to look. They don't want to lust after other women. They want to walk pure. And it is on us men to crucify the flesh. And the other side, in 1 Timothy 2, we're told by Paul, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. And so God is telling us there that I don't think you can put stretch pants darn tight in that modest apparel category. That's in more of a very revealing category. I've had some men say that it's more powerful for them to deal with stretch pants than it is to deal with some forms of pornography, because it's like the mind and the flesh wants to get drawn into what might be there. And I'm bringing this up because this is real life. This is the real world we live in, where everything has become sexualized and we have to learn to deal with these things. And I don't ever remember being in a church and hearing a pastor talking about something like this, that, hey, I struggle with the pull of lust too. Hey, I struggle with the pull to porn too. And with so many pastors struggling with these sexual issues, why not? Shouldn't they be taking the lead and saying, hey, I got the flesh just like you do, but here's how I deal with it. And hey, I've got this flesh like you do, and I've failed like you have, but God has still cleansed me and helped me to move on. And it's not easy to navigate the world we're living in. I was speaking at a church in California a year ago, and I had a Q&A session, and one woman started talking about, well, you've been delivered, and then I forget what her question was going to be, but then I kind of interrupted her and said, well, what does being delivered mean to you? And then she started fumbling, and she couldn't even articulate what that meant to her. And so some people might think, well, heck, you're in this ministry. I had one senior pastor said, you wouldn't understand the temptations and pulls to lust. And I'm like, come on, bro. I still got flesh here. You got flesh here. We're all in the same boat. We're all on the same team. So it's on me and it's on you every single day to crucify our flesh and to put it in the grave, and to dress appropriately, that it's not going to be a way that causes our brother or sister to stumble. And so we need to open this up more. And this is what we do in this broadcast. We open these things up that people aren't talking about. Why? The why behind it is to equip God's people to move and thrive and walk in this sexually messed up world. And before I get into my content here, I just want to share that this past month in December, man, the spiritual warfare has been intense at times. And this isn't a topic that we hear at church as much, for Christmas time. Like, everything's all about narrowed down into Jesus and the manger and Christ's birth and maybe the angels. But we tend to leave out the parts about Herod wanting to kill Jesus even when he was born. And so the enemy didn't take time off this month. And I went through one stretch, probably a good 36-hour stretch during a period of time, the end of last week, where I just went through intense spiritual warfare, slept 1 hour one night, and all through the night I was getting bombarded with the pull to look at pornography. That pull was there, and there was all sorts of crazy words, and I mean, I'm not going to get into detail. I think you get the picture, and this went on, and I was tired and worn out, and the morning after sometime, I just went to God, I don't have any more energy for this. And then I remembered from times past, I don't need to have the energy. He can give me the strength. So I went to him with, okay, God, I'm looking to you now for the strength to get me past this. And all my hope is on you. This is not about my strength. My strength isn't really worth very much in this context of spiritual warfare often, because I need his power to overcome. And we start fighting battles in the flesh. Fighting the flesh with the flesh or fighting the enemy with the flesh doesn't really work very well. I need God's power. I need his strength. And sometimes you have to remember, he allows us to go through these battles and these fights. And I started remembering that too. I started thinking about Job, how God allowed him in Job chapter 1 to go through some horrendous losses. Job lost 10 kids in one day. I've lost one son 5 days after he was born. It tore me apart. But could you imagine losing 10 kids in one day? I think it was 7 sons and 3 daughters. I don't know how he made it through that. And then, you know, his wife said, well, basically at the end, he lost his business, his employees were killed, and he's suffering now, and the enemy is allowed to attack him physically. And his wife said, just curse God and God, die, get it over with. So now Job is left with this woman who's basically gone bitter and herself turned away from God and given up to some extent. And that's so hard. But the Lord allows us to go through these trials. And in the weeks and months ahead, we're going to go through some more trials. All you got to do is look at the news to know that things are not settling down or quieting down. The enemy did not take Christmas off. The mass killing in Germany is one easy example. Violence is every. None of this stuff is going to stop. So we have to be prepared and set our minds and our hearts to war, to warfare, to fighting the good fight, to standing up. And we are a church at war. We are a people at war. Every blood-bought son and daughter of the living God who wants to make their life count for eternity is going to experience spiritual warfare and the battles that come with it. So I want to give you some pieces, some points to remember as you walk through these next few weeks, months, and beyond. And first is, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's from Hebrews 13:5. God does not abandon his children. And sometimes when you're going through hell, what the enemy tries to do is say, hey, you're on your own. You got to fight this on your own. And then you're sitting there all confused, like, I don't know how to fight this on my own or whatever. And maybe things are going bad in your marriage. Maybe things are going bad in your family. You're starting to feel real crummy, and the strong sense of isolation comes over you. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to feel cut off. And a guy wrote recently that he struggled with the idea that God had abandoned him. This is a Christian I'm talking about here. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He does not reject you. Jesus Christ took on the rejection for the human race at the cross when he was brutally butchered and murdered. The pure Lamb of God. So all of you who are sons and daughters of God, he is with you. He is for you. You are not alone. And abandonment by God is a lie. He does not abandon his kids. But what happens is the enemy comes and says, you know what? God has left you alone. You have no hope. There's nothing left for you. You're on your own. And then if you start buying into that junk long enough and you let your heart start getting a little rough and a little hard, that's where it can start to become dangerous when you start believing the lies. You always go back to the truth. What does God's word say the truth is? And because he is with you and he will not leave you, he is present for you to go to him and ask for the wisdom and the strength and the mercy and the grace and the love to get you through whatever you're going through. And so the next point I will give you is he has promised to strengthen us. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. There's no condition there. It says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I said the words, there's no condition there. But of course, if we're running headlong into sin, you know, there's going to be some pretty harsh consequences to that. He's going to let you have what you want, but when we're in the middle of a battle or in a fight and we're weary and we're worn out and we're beat up, God, I need your strength right now. Just like I was last week, I need your strength now. You promised to strengthen me. Psalm 51, a broken and contrite heart, you will not despise. He is for you. Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He is with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This isn't just kind of some kind of neat little Awana-level Bible study thing to kind of teach. It's something to live. So the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's not just about packing your head with a little bit of doctrine and theology and knowledge. It is real and it is alive and it's powerful. If you're not living the supernatural life, something is off. And sometimes that something that's off is the way we've been taught, is that you just need to learn your Bible verses, be a really nice believer, and that's what the Christian life is about. That's not going to get you very far. Not in a time of darkness like we're navigating right now. There have been so many times when I've had nothing left in the tank and God came through and supercharged me with strength when I had nothing. And sometimes he allows us to go to the very end of our strength so we have nothing left but him. And sometimes what we need is to realize that God is enough when we have nothing. When we have no more answers, no more ideas, no more anything. He invites us in James chapter 1, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I don't know about you, but I know that he has unimaginable, unfathomable wisdom, wide and deep, more than anything we can understand. And so many times I've struggled with, God, what do I do in this situation? Then I remember to ask him for wisdom, and he gives me the answer. And sometimes that answer is wait. Sometimes he just wants us to wait and rest and trust and walk with him, and he'll take us through. He is with you. So and those first few words of Isaiah 41, fear not. The enemy attacks with fear. Fear not. I am with you. You are not alone. The most incredible, powerful being in the universe is with you, no matter what you're going through. Next up, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand up and understand how to engage the battle. You're going to have to take up your authority in Christ. You're going to have to shut the enemy down and say things out loud. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave my presence and go where Jesus would send you to go. Something like that when the enemy is coming against you. I had to do that this morning. In fact, last night, in the first hours, two of my sleep, I had a nightmare, and I literally had to start praying that aloud. God, shut the enemy down. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And I'm, you know, I was half awake, but the nightmare woke me up. You will have to stand up and fight. And I talk about spiritual warfare so much because it's so it's not picked up enough, this topic in the church, and we see so many people who know nothing about it, even though they've been in church for decades, and they don't realize the extent, the spiritual battle that they're in. They look at it, well, my spouse is not doing this right, or this isn't going right, and I'm having these thoughts run through my mind of shame, doubt, fear, confusion, anger, whatever it is, and they don't have clarity in the fact that all that stuff is not from you. That's from an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and keep you in shame, doubt, fear, anger, or all those things. So there's times I'll be, whatever, going about my day, I'm feeling great, and all of a sudden these feelings start coming over me, like mad or anger or whatever it is, and I'm not particularly angry at anyone, then I know I'm being attacked. And I'll say something like, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce hatred. And not long ago, I had an issue with a family member where I felt my blood start to boil over a situation. I knew, okay, this is dangerous. It takes a lot for me to lose my temper, but I knew the way my blood was boiling in this situation, I need to back off, start praying, ask God to calm my emotions down. I didn't want to, the worst thing I could do is to blow up, because now you just spray everyone. And then you add more strife to the situation. So I just start praying, okay, God, show me what to do to overcome this. And the word forgive was coming to my mind. Okay, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. I had to say that repeatedly. I forgive this person for this. And I started calming down by God's grace. And a little later, I did express the truth over the situation, but I was able to do it in a way that wasn't going to blow the other person away. And we have to be very careful what we're letting run through our mind. You cannot just let those thoughts run through your mind unhindered. Anything that is of the enemy, including lust or whatever it is, doubt and fear. He uses fear a lot to try and get a hold of people. Fear not, I am with you. All over Scripture, Jesus talked about do not fear, do not be afraid. Trust me. Trust is the opposite of fear. You are God's son or daughter. You have his strength. You have his Holy Spirit. He is with you. Sometimes I find myself thinking, what? Why should I ever be afraid of anything again? And I get frustrated when I get hit with it, and I start maybe taking a moment or two with it and realizing, no, what do I got to be afraid about? He's with me. Next, as we walk this road, be devoted to prayer. Prayer has to be at the top of your priority list. Without a strong prayer life, I'd have quit this ministry a long time ago. I'd have been done. There's no way I'm going through the things we have to go through here. And it's the same thing for other team leaders too. Without a strong prayer life, you're done. And that's the message we should be hearing from the pulpit often in our churches. Without a prayer life, you're done. You're just walking in your flesh. You're just faking it. This isn't going to work today, having a prayerless life. You have to be strong in prayer. Prayer is where your spiritual power comes from. In prayer, we receive God's guidance and wisdom and discernment. We receive his strength. In prayer, we put the flesh to death. I pray all the time, God, please crucify my flesh. Let me live in the power of your resurrection. In prayer, we learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is meant to be one of power, not only words. And I don't have the verse. I remember where that came, which verse the address is it, but power talked about the Christian. He spoke to people in power, not just in word. Is your Christian life one of power? We need prayer to overcome in warfare. We need it for healing. And we especially need it if we want to help other people. You don't want to be helping other people in your flesh, because then you're going to give them your flesh wisdom, which may miss the mark by miles. You'll be more prone to talk than you will to listen. James 1, let everybody be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So my friends, we have some battles ahead of us, but God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so let's move forward and keep taking back ground. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.